about.
Hello, buenas.
Sí, buena, Brea.
Hey, ¿quién anda ahí?
Isn't your name like Spanish for a threesome?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Vagina.
No es para usted.
Vagina.
Oh, español. I do not the Spanish.
Are you a Mexican or a Mexicant?
Watch your back, my little immigrant friend.
We didn't cross the border! The border crossed us!
That explains all those sad people in sombreros.
Mexicans!
You look very Mexican. Keep up the good work. And now...
Do we have any Mexican-Americans with us today? Well, buenos dias.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Cinco de Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the extent of our celebration and recognition of this exciting holiday.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Whew, I'm exhausted. I'll never drink again after that. Remember back in the fun days where we used to be live at a restaurant somewhere and getting our load on and having a party and playing the music and meeting the people. And way to go, Omar. Nice job, Omar.
It is totally Omar's fault.
It's so funny that we made for 15 years we made Omar jokes. Oh, I can't believe Omar's swinging his underwear, lighting things on fire. And then he shows up one time and ruins it for everybody.
Yep. That's really right. Because Omar, for years, wasn't invited to the thing because he was running the controls back at the studio. Then the one time we have him down here, he spoils the whole party.
Yeah.
Omar is the turn in the punch bowl.
That's correct.
So anyway, so that's Cinco de Mayo. So that's already done. That happened. Yeah. Hey, I got a happy story, though, that'll cleanse the bad feelings you have about us not being somewhere for Cinco de Mayo. This is a great story. Lisa, you're going to tear up when I tell you this story.
Oh, okay.
Keensburg, New Jersey. Family has been through a rough time. They lost their home in Hurricane Sandy. Maybe even worse for them, they also lost their dog. Sandy was, what, a year and a half ago now? So they lost their little dog, Reckless, and you can imagine how traumatic that was.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah, terrible thing. So they looked and looked, couldn't find him. Eventually, got over it and moved on, and just recently decided to go to the shelter and adopt a new dog. They thought it was time to adopt a new dog. Which I think is a curious choice, by the way, because apparently they're still living in a hotel.
Oh. Huh.
A year and a half after Sandy. I don't know what the circumstances are of them not being able to have a home. Maybe they're rebuilding their home. I don't know what the deal is there. So they walk into the Monmouth County SPCA, and the first dog they see when they get to the shelter is their dog, Reckless.
No, don't tell me that.
What?
That's not possible.
Who had been missing a year and a half.
Did they never look there?
Well,
they must not have.
It doesn't say that here, but this dog had only been in the shelter for 5 months. So even if they had looked for a year, they wouldn't have seen it. No word on where this dog came from. They didn't know how the dog got there, including the people at the shelter, by the way, didn't know who the people were that had dropped him off. So they didn't know, was he on the streets for that year before he came to the shelter? Was another family looking for him and then changed their mind? But they walk in, and there's their own dog standing there looking right back at them.
That's the best.
And they went, no, what else you got? What else you got? Show me something else.
That dog's damaged. The first dog we came to turned out to be Reckless, our dog. We both teared up right away. He's a lot heavier. I didn't recognize him at first, but I said to my wife, hey, that dog looks like Reckless. My wife says, that dog is Reckless. So they pulled out pictures to show the people that Reckless was theirs. By the way, they do carry pictures of their dog in their wallet, which I thought was curious. Yeah. I don't know how many of us do that, but they did that. So they're reunited now with Reckless. They're still in the hotel, but at least they got their dog back.
You heard the craziest dog stories. You know, they walk 500 miles for 3 years to find you.
I would walk 500 miles.
And they sing Scottish songs.
They sing that.
The saddest ones, Lisa, are the ones that go and lay on the graves. Those are the ones that break my heart when you see that.
Every
day.
You
see a couple of those a year, and it just tears you up. But this
is bring us down. This is an upper story. Come on now.
It's not a sweet story, though.
It really is.
So Reckless is doing great. Looks adorable. Pitbull mix. Just a cute little dog. So
swimming down, I hope.
I hope so.
Fat.
How about a little weight loss program? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
What kind of a sales pitch was that? That was terrible.
I haven't done it yet. We have an announcement today at 7:15. It would be for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014.
Yeah, heard something about that.
That will be happening, so make sure and tune in then. We also have playoff tickets for the hockey.
Awesome.
Got your Kings-Ducks tickets for, I believe it's tonight's game.
I think that's right.
Highlights of the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which is, I believe Bean is the only one of us that watches.
Well, I watched.
You did.
Because it's actually quite entertaining.
It's always fun. Yeah. It's a great show. And they get great hosts, you know. In past years, they've had Jimmy Kimmel and Seth Meyers and Stephen Colbert. This year, it was our friend Joel McHale.
We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Mm-hmm. We have Matt Money Smith talking about the playoffs of all kinds, NBA and everything else. And 24 comes back tonight. How awesome is that?
Or as it's now called, 12.
Yeah, that's right.
There are only 12 episodes, right? But 24, Live Another Day comes back, and we have two of the writers, Manny Coto and Evan Katz, in the studio to talk about that.
Awesome.
Very excited about that. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock.
Is that part over?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't think it needs that kind of drumming right there.
It has it in the song.
It is the Kevin DeBeecho at 5:52.
7:15 this morning. All the details on K-Rock's Weenie Roast 2014. You've been waiting for it. That's on the way. Right now, Ralph has the Showbiz Beat for Monday. What's going on?
Oh, you know, the usual. We look at the box office over the weekend to see what people went to see in the movie theaters. And this weekend, it was all about Spidey. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 debuted to the tune of about $95 million.
Wow.
It's a big weekend for Spidey.
Yes, it is.
Nobody else went to see pretty much anything else this weekend. The Other Woman was number two with just $14 million.
So 95.
Yeah.
Second place, 14.
Yeah, you can tell what people wanted to see. Heaven is for Real was third. Captain America the Winter Soldier came in at number four. And then Rio 2 was fifth. Brick Mansions came in at number six, then Divergent, The Quiet Ones, God's Not Dead, and The Grand Budapest Hotel came in at number 10.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Yes.
I heard that Walk of Shame, the movie we talked about in the Movie Beat last Friday.
Oh, my goodness. I forgot that even existed.
Forgot about that.
Walk of Shame, that's the new one with Elizabeth Banks. Okay. I heard that it made $38,000. Over the weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
Was it in more than one theater?
I think it was. I think it was in a lot.
Wow.
Apparently, Bean was right. The Walk of Shame is being seen coming out of that movie theater. That's not a lot of money.
No. It's not a lot. It's not. It didn't get you in the top 10, that's for sure.
Beloved TV actor and character actor Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. passed away Friday. There was a time in the 60s and 70s he was quite the TV star. Started in the 50s, actually, the show called 77 Sunset Strip. He played a private investigator. Then on the show called The FBI.
The FBI!
From the 1965 to 1974, he played an inspector for the agency.
That was an awesome show, by the way.
It was a fun show. It was really it was sort of like the granddaddy of all procedurals that you see now with CSI and all these other shows. They would take a case each week and break it down. And he was so good in the role, the FBI made him an honorary agent in 2009. And then... of course, his daughter, Stephanie Zimbalist, was on Remington Steele. He had a recurring role on that show. But he was also the voice of Alfred on Batman the Animated Series for many, many seasons. So a long and storied career. He passed away at the age of 95 this weekend.
I was shocked that he was still alive.
Life well lived right there, Mr. Zimbalist. Well, what do you know? Speaking of Batman, Batman's a cheater. Batman is a cheater. How about that?
Really?
Cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater. That's what the Joker can say to him now.
That'll hurt.
Yeah, it will. Ben Affleck has been banned from gambling at the Hard Rock Cafe because he got caught cheating.
Is that right?
Yeah. What's more, an alert went out to all the major casinos on the Strip advising that Affleck is using a technique known as perfect basic. For those of you who aren't familiar, this is not counting cards, which is keeping a running count in your head of the cards that have been played in a run, which is almost impossible in a six-deck shoot. You can't really do that. You can't keep all those numbers in your head. Instead, Affleck uses a memorized set of solutions to each possible set of cards from the dealer.
This is blackjack, though.
This is blackjack, okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. It comes from a Princeton statistician named Edward Thorpe, who published a book in the 60s called Beat the Dealer. And he had the premise that... Each possible deal has only one perfect play that can give a player an advantage over the house. And apparently that was the technique that Affleck was using.
Doesn't sound illegal.
Mm-mm.
You're still just using it in your head. You're not writing anything down or cheating in any way with the manipulating the cards or anything, right, Ralph?
Apparently it is. At least according to the casino owners, as you can imagine. They don't like people working that kind of stuff. He was escorted out of the Hard Rock on Tuesday night when his play proved too obvious. They could tell pretty much obviously what he was doing. He was using his chips to kind of keep track of things and stuff and everything, using them as markers to help him remember what was going on. And they said he has been observed playing blackjack at multiple Las Vegas Strip properties and suspected of moving his wagers with the count.
Huh.
Which is part of this process. Anyway.
You'd think they wouldn't do that just for the bad publicity of kicking out a celebrity.
I think it's great publicity for them to discourage people from trying to play at their casino if they've got a system.
Then, after all is said and done, this was on Tuesday. On Friday night, the Hard Rock Hotel issued a statement saying, Mr. Affleck is a valued guest of the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, is not banned from our property, and is welcome back anytime. So either they had a change of heart.
What I heard is that all of that is true. He's welcome to come and play whatever games he wants, except for poker.
Blackjack?
Was it blackjack he was playing?
Yes,
yeah, then blackjack, yeah. Whatever the card games were, yeah. But he can still come and stay at the hotel and do other things.
Until he cheats at that, and then they'll add to the list. Okay, exactly. You can't play blackjack, and you can't play
uses
slots.
His bat computer to work the roulette wheel and figure out what's going on. But, meanwhile, George Clooney, the story of him having a run-in with a Vegas casino mogul like Steve Wynn is still going on. You may remember a few weeks back, I told you he got into a tiff with Steve Wynn over dinner when Steve Wynn called President Barack Obama an a-hole.
Right.
And that's when George got all up in his grill and whatnot. George says, the claims that Steve Wynn say that he's a spoiled rich dude don't really hold water because he didn't attend a private boys' school, has worked on everything from construction sites to tobacco fields. And he's been broke more of my life than I've been successful, he said. So shut up, basically, Steve Wynn, is what he's saying to his response.
I think he's pretty much... I don't feel like anybody thinks he's a spoiled rich kid, right?
Not
I mean,
at
he's
all.
Rich, clearly, but he seems to be...
He didn't grow
be...
up with a silver spoon in his
right.
mouth, that's for sure, yeah.
He also seems to
seemed
be...
to earn what he got.
A good guy.
And giving back a lot.
Nice man.
Yeah. Let's take a look at today's birthdays. Actor Lance Henriksen is 74 years old today. Former MTV news correspondent Kurt Loder turns 69. Drummer Bill Ward of Black Sabbath is 66. Singer Ian McCullough of Echo and the Bunnymen is 55 years old today. Are they playing Weenie Roast? Can you tell me right now?
Echo can't and tell the you that right now.
Come on.
Can I reveal?
7:15.
Come on, Echo and the Bunnymen.
Can't tell
come
you.
Come on. Come on. Come on, Echo.
Can't.
Come on, Echo.
Can't give
come
that away.
Come on, Echo and the Bunnymen. Come on. Come on, Echo.
What's happening?
Newsman Brian Williams is 55. Kurt Sutter, my good friend
Kurt
from
Sutter.
Sons of Anarchy.
When's that coming back?
Why don't you call him and ask him?
Come on, September.
54, you come on, September. Come on, Echo
come
the Bunny
on.
Man. Come on, September. It's like we're at the worst racetrack in the world. Teeny Others is 41 years old. My good buddy Danielle Fishel. Oh, how I love Danielle. She is just so sweet and kind and nice. And has that new series, Girl Meets World, the sequel to her popular Boy Meets World TV show. She was part of that lineup that we did the live read of the Space Jam script on stage with Blake Griffin.
Right.
Of the Clippers, of course. And, who's his buddy? The other really good player.
Chris Paul?
No, come on.
DeAndre Jordan?
DeAndre Jordan, yeah. Was also, but... Danielle was there. She played Lola Bunny in the lineup. She did a great job. Very funny. Henry Cavill, Superman, 31 years old today. And singer Adele celebrates her 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
So you're saying there's no possible way the Ducks can come back from this, right? You're saying they're out.
I'm not saying that at all.
I've heard it's in the bag. It's a sweep. I've heard it's a guaranteed sweep.
Nope.
How about that Game 1 Kings Ducks Saturday night at the Honda Center? How about that?
That was fantastic if you're a Kings fan.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking if you're an Anaheim fan.
Not so good if you're a Ducks fan.
The Kings scored with 7 seconds left in the game to tie it up and then won in overtime.
After pulling our goalie. I don't know exactly what the statistics are on pulling a goalie and then getting that tying goal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they can't be very good. Most of the time, the other team just scores a goal because there's no goalie.
It's a desperation move, Lisa. Yeah. You do that so that you have an extra player on offense, somebody else to try to score a goal. But you're completely unprotected at the other end of the ice. So like Kevin said, usually it backfires on you. It doesn't work out. But this time it did. So very exciting. We had a chance on Friday to talk to the captain of the Anaheim Ducks, Ryan Getzlaf. Fascinating guy. He's got to be hurting this morning, but he was feeling pretty good on Friday. Executive producers and showrunners for 24 Live Another Day. Manny Cotto and Evan Katz joins us in studio later on today. I'm actually very excited about the return of Jack Bauer on my team.
Me
tonight.
Too.
I don't know about you, but it's been a long 4 years without some 24. Anyway, right now, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com is on the phone like we do every Monday morning. Hi, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
How was your weekend?
It was good. How was yours?
That did not sound good, Harvey.
It was good. It was good.
A little too much work.
Too much work.
I sense that you're the kind of guy who is never off work because you've always got to be making decisions for your people out in the field, I bet.
Well, I always say I try.
Right. Did you see the cold open of Saturday Night Live? Did you see how they handled the Donald Sterling thing? It was hilarious.
I thought that the guy that played the NAACP leader, I literally fell off the sofa.
Yes.
I thought it was so funny.
It was really funny.
Because it just felt so real.
Yes, it did. Well, let's talk about the real Donald Sterling. He had a little bit of a crazy weekend. What was going on with these interviews that he was going to do but then didn't do?
Well, he went to the Four Seasons Hotel, get this, with V. Stiviano.
Oh, my God.
With the girl
It is an insane relationship. And not just the two of them. Shelley, too. I mean,
his wife.
Crazy how this goes back and forth. It's just insane. Yes, that woman, the two of them were together for hours at the Four Seasons, along with Barbara Walters and Anderson Cooper. And what obviously the prize for them, for Anderson and Barbara, the prize was getting Donald Sterling to do an interview.
Sure.
And that's why he went there, and he went back and forth, and they were talking to him, and he kept changing his mind. Ultimately, he decided he wasn't ready to do an interview. He wasn't prepared. I don't know what that means, but that's what he said.
Wait, so Anderson Cooper was waiting there for him in the hotel to do an interview, as was Barbara Walters.
Correct. And they talked to him, and they lobbied him, and ultimately he said no. So Barbara got the consolation prize of interviewing V. Stiviano. And so she does the interview with her. Donald leaves and goes over to the Polo Lounge about a mile away at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Okay.
And has dinner with five people and is drinking some wine, a little tipsy, I'm told, and on his way out, this very pretty black model walks up to him and says, "Can I have a picture with you?" And he says, "Well, I'm not real popular right now." She says, "No, I'd really like to have one." So she takes a picture with him. And then, at least according to her, she gets kind of handsy.
He gets handsy.
And he's like, you know, putting his arm around her and whatnot, and her boyfriend is there. And, I talked to her, and she ends up telling me, I said, "Do you think he's a racist?" And she, at first, she's like, "Well, you know, everybody's a little bit of a racist." And I said, "Well, do you think he's a racist?" And she said, "Yeah."
Why did she want to get her picture taken with him?
I don't have a good answer.
Because people love celebrity, because people are blinded by famous people. But this is what's so crazy is what started this whole thing is he didn't want his girlfriend to be in pictures with African-Americans, and then he goes out and gets his picture taken with an African-American.
Because she was hot.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, and the funny thing is, well, I shouldn't say that. I'm not saying the people at the table are this way that he was eating with, because I don't know. But clearly, when you listen to the tape, I mean, his thing is that it sounds like his friends pass judgment when he or somebody else is out in public with a black person, because he didn't seem to care if Magic goes to the game, just that she shouldn't take him to the game.
Correct.
And it sounds like
someone named Dennis called and questioned him about it, right?
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, and that doesn't absolve him, but it sounds like
it's more jealousy.
Friends that are a little bit behind the times.
Yeah, maybe so. But let me ask you about V. Stiviano, by the way, and how ridiculous is she with her visor and her pet turtle and her bodyguards with her name on their hats?
Is she really ridiculous?
Yes, she's really ridiculous.
She's in the best sort of way.
But my question for you, Harvey, is did she or did she not tell Barbara Walters with a straight face
that
she does not have a romantic relationship with Donald Sterling, that they're just associates?
Oh, I thought you were going to say silly rabbit.
No. No. But she's claiming that all these cars and condos and everything else that allegedly Donald Cerulli has bought for her is just because they're acquaintances and friends and business associates, not because there's any sex trading hands.
That's absolutely, absolutely her position.
But that's ridiculous and completely unbelievable.
So you think nobody can be given a Bentley without getting laid?
Well, yes. Yes, that's what I think.
I would think, why would he give her a Bentley? I mean,
you don't give a stupid woman who's 50 years younger than you a Bentley for any other reason than you're having sex with her, Harvey. Come on.
Now, I mean, how am I going to argue with you?
In the interview, did V say she does not believe he's racist?
Right. That's a lie.
What's a lie?
And all mean, I can say is, that, yeah, when she's saying that I can just say that there is a story behind this. She taped this for a reason.
Right.
And her reason was she was really upset about this kind of statement. So, you know, whether you call that racism or what, I mean, what else do you call it other than racism? We're going to have some more stories on this later.
Okay. I know you got to go here, Harvey, but what is the status of the rest of these tapes that we have heard exist?
Well, I know that what I'm told is initially on her side, we were told that Donald called her a week ago and said, what can we do to make this go away? What I'm now told is it was actually her that initiated the call. And
she wants another Bentley.
Yeah, or more.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know where they are in terms of negotiating, if at all. But there were definitely talks a week ago yesterday on this.
So the only interview that we know of that is apparently official that Donald Cerulli has done is with that high-end European Rich People's magazine, right? Where
right.
he said, I wish I'd have paid her off.
Right.
He has not sat down with anybody yet.
He was on the verge of doing it with the two of them. I felt bad for Anderson. Poor Anderson flew all the way out here.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah.
I mean, how do you walk away? You don't even get V.
What? Yeah. How do you suppose, and I know you really got to go, but how do you suppose he's not making any attempt whatsoever to rehabilitate his image? That's unbelievable for a person who's as successful in business as he is, that the first thing he wouldn't do is at least apologize.
Check out TMZ.com in about an hour.
Okay. We'll do it. TMZ.com is where you need to go. TMZ on the TV every day at, you know the times. It's on Fox all the time, forever. Thanks, Harvey.
Bye, guys.
All the details on the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014 at 7:15 this morning, right here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. It's our favorite day of the whole summer, the Weenie Roast. And today's the day you find out everything you need to know so that you can join us. That's coming up. Also, Matt Money Smith talking NBA and NHL playoffs. And we'll give you a chance to win some tickets to go see the Ducks Game 2 in the Stanley Cup Round 2. Hi, Ralph Garman.
Yeah, hi yourself.
What is up with you and fruit?
Those words I've never been put together before. Like, what? Directed at me.
You've been yelling and jumping up
yelling.
And down.
I've been yelling.
Why are you so fruity, I think is what Kevin's
What's
asking.
What's going on? This is a major problem. This is a conspiracy at work.
Okay.
An international conspiracy, and it will not stand.
Okay. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it.
All right.
How many times did they tell you, oh, you know what? Oh, you got your freaking Lisa over here. Oh, don't eat bread. Bread will kill you. Oh, no. Fruits and vegetables. Eat more fruits and vegetables. Oh, you got to have some more fruits and vegetables.
Right.
My doctor says, hey, Rob, you should eat more fruits and vegetables. F you people. F you fruit liars. You lying fruit vendors.
What? Wait, but they're telling the truth. Fruits and vegetables are good for you. They should be a part of your diet.
They should be. You're right. So why is it that they are keeping from us the bubble berry?
Now, what is the bubble berry?
Oh, nothing, Kevin. The bubble berry just happens to be a berry that tastes just like bubble gum.
Yeah!
What?
Yeah, that's right, Lisa. What? Yeah, okay. Gluten-free Lisa, even you didn't know about this.
I've never heard
of
this.
She doesn't know about this. Nobody knows about this.
Is this new?
Oh, well, let me
see. Did
they
just discover it?
They just, well, you know, that would make sense if this was a new thing. That's
right.
Why we haven't been able to enjoy the beautiful, delicious bubble berry for all these years, because it's new. Oh, yeah, except that it was popular from the 16th century to the 19th century.
Well, what happened then?
Goddamn right, Lisa, what happened then? So apparently in the 1500s, where there was plague and disease and people's teeth falling out, you know what they can enjoy? The delicious taste of the bubble berry.
Here, have some fruit.
They
have
that taste
like bubble gum.
Oh, this is the best fruit ever. And then in somewhere in the 1800s, boop, no more bubble berries. You don't get any more bubble berries for you, they said.
Now, could
this exists?
A fruit that tastes like bubblegum.
Yes. How much fruit would you eat if there was a fruit that tastes like bubblegum?
I would eat it all day.
I would put it on my cereal.
Yep.
I would put it in my orifices.
That's weird.
I would make juice out of it to be in every smoothie. I would probably eat nothing but bubble berries if it was a thing. But they've been keeping it from us. Why?
Why?
Because it makes you live forever. That's what I'm guessing.
I don't think that's the reason.
Exactly that's what it is. The government is keeping it from us because they don't want us to live forever. It probably cures cancer.
I think that's a safe bet.
I think so, too.
The kids in the office did a little research, Ralph, and they are suggesting that maybe it was a difficult berry to grow, and it was replaced with other berries that are hardier.
It's hard. Oh, it's hard to make bubble berries. Yeah. You know what else it's hard to make? Tobacco. That's not a hardy crop. They're going to work hard to get that going. Oh, avocados are a pain in the ass to grow. Trust me. But they have plenty of those in the supermarket. You know what I don't see in my produce section? Bubble berries?
No, you don't.
Not a one.
The Fragaria moschata. That's the scientific name for the berry.
Well, where does it come from? What part of the world?
Apparently, very popular in England.
England?
From the 16th century to the 19th century. And it was grown mostly in
Central Europe.
I
hear, yeah.
Okay, you go.
Well, they were better at growing crops then than we are now.
Right.
Right. So why don't we have just scads and scads of bubble berries? On every street corner should be a bubble berry vendor. Just selling fresh bubble berries out of how about the freaking guys on the off ramps of the 134? You know, he's got bags of oranges and crap. I don't need that. I need bags of bubble berries.
We should be having to turn away bubble berry fruit because it's just too much.
Too delicious, right?
Yes.
You'd never stop eating a berry that tasted like bubble gum. And now there's one store in the UK has announced for the next 5 weeks. They're going to be selling bubble berries. Sure, come on down, get your bubble berries. But after 5 weeks, boom, it's gone again. Another 200 years will go by before we get bubble berries.
Why?
That's what I want to know,
Kevin.
Why
does it go away?
I want to know, why does it go away? Where's it been since the 1800s?
There are a lot of questions that legitimately need to be answered here.
Bubble berries!
Ordinarily, I just roll my eyes at Ralph's crazy obsessions, but I think he's onto something here. It does seem like something sinister is going on.
I want bubble berry jam. I want bubble berry juice.
Oh, that'd be the best.
I want fried bubble berries. I want sautéed bubble berries. I want a bubble berry salve that I can slather all over my body so I can take it in through my pores as well. I want a smell of bubble berries everywhere I go. When people go, oh, Ralph's here. How do you know? Because I can smell the bubble berries.
So, Ralph, you're going to England this summer.
The hell? Yeah, I am. Now, for sure, I'm going.
After the five-week period that the bubble berries are being sold, though, I'm saying they could already be gone by the time you get there.
Well, then, you know what? It's going to be just like the War for Independence all over again.
Is that right?
It's going to be. I'm going to take those red coats on one by one. Be like, turn. I'm going to be a spy in their organization because this will not stand.
You need to bring back the bubble berry
and
become the only outlet in the United States.
I need to smuggle some bubble berries out of the UK and bring them to the United States.
Start your own business and you'll just be a billionaire overnight.
Oh, berries, they're hard to breed. Oh, they're hard to grow. It's worth it. You know why? Because they taste like bubble gum.
This is real.
You know what's hard? Going to the moon. But we did that. Why can't I get a berry that tastes like bubble gum?
I don't think you're asking too much.
I'm not.
I'm really with you.
Hey, here's an idea. Take some bubble berry seeds, stick them in the ground, water them, and you know what will grow? Bubble berries!
Well, they're clearly doing that because you said it's going to be available for 5 weeks. So
the people at the store, the Waitrose supermarket chain in the UK is going to have bubble berries for 5 weeks.
All right.
And we really haven't seen them since, 1812. But apparently these people got their hands on some.
Maybe we should call them.
And they're British! We're America!
What does that have to do with it?
We rule! And we have no bubble berries.
Not when it comes to bubble berries.
Now they beat us. Now they've beat us in the bubble berry race. I hope you're all happy, you hippies. You tree-hugging hippies.
Why are we hippies? We can't do anything.
Now we're behind in the bubble berry race.
All right.
We're barely a society now. We're barely a...
We're just hanging on by a thread.
We're a third world nation now because over there in the UK, you know what they're enjoying? Delicious bubble berries with whipped cream. Ooh. Oh, I say, Reginald, would you like some more bubble berries? Those folks in the colonies, they're not enjoying this. They're laughing at us over there.
Can we call the store and see if they'll ship us some?
Can we take up arms against the store and steal them?
I don't think we need to necessarily...
Hand over your bubble berries!
Let's not jump right to that option. Let's see if they'll send us
drone
some.
Strike! Paratroopers!
I don't think that's an overreaction at all.
Come on, Obama, get on it.
SEAL Team 6.
That's right. Let's use how much money we spend on defense every year. How much the industrial military complex, how much money do they get every year? You know what they can do? Get us some bubble berries. Mission Bubbleberry. Operation Bazooka. That's what we'll call it. Why are people laughing? We don't have any bubble berries.
I find it fascinating that this is that it's all the things you're saying are possible, and yet they're all true.
They are all true, and they want us to eat more fruit. Fine. You know what? Get me more fruit that tastes like candy, and I'll be eating it all day long. So let's start with some freaking bubble berries.
USA, 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 USA. Fire,
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Bubbleberries. Less than 30 minutes away from all the details on K-Rock's Weenie Rose 2014. That's coming up here on K-Rock. I know, bubbleberries, Ralph.
Bubbleberries.
You're going to be okay, man. We're gonna get to the bottom. We're going to get you some bubbleberries, I promise.
Bubbleberries.
It'll happen.
Somebody slap Ralph. Bring him back to life. Time for the showbiz beat now on a Monday morning. What's going on?
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, as expected. The debut of The Amazing Spider-Man 2 topped the box office this weekend. No surprise, since it really was the only big movie opening and wide release this weekend. It pulled in an estimated $95 million, however, making it number one by far. The rest of the top 10, paltry in comparison to the monster that was Amazing Spider-Man 2. The other woman, lady's still going to see that, $14.2 million, made it number two. Heaven is for Real, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, and Rio 2 was fifth. If Heaven is Real, you know what they have in heaven?
Does it start with a B?
What, Ralph?
Bubbleberry. Brick Mansions, $3.5 million, made it number six. Then Divergent, The Quiet Ones, God's Not Dead, and The Grand Budapest Hotel. Well, good news. We may not have bubbleberries, but we're going to have another Beverly Hills Cop movie.
Yes.
Yes.
Finally.
It'll be out in 2016. Eddie okay. Murphy is back as Axel Foley.
That does make a difference that Eddie Murphy is in it, and this isn't some lame spinoff with his, you know, Axel's son or something.
That's what it was going to be. It was going to be a TV series with the son of Axel. And Beverly Hills Cop star Eddie Murphy would be a recurring, occasionally recurring character and the producer, but... this time, they're going back.
He hasn't done an out-and-out comedy in forever, has he?
I can't remember last movie period he's been in.
Yeah, he didn't work much.
Didn't he do a bunch where he plays all the characters?
Yeah, he did the clumps.
That was quite a few years ago now.
The series, which is where this whole idea came from, was going to star a young actor playing Eddie's son. As well as Judge Reinhold. Remember him from the original series of films?
Oh, right.
He was
going
to play the new captain of the Beverly Hills PD who has to deal with Axel's crazy son. Oh, you crazy cop. There would have been a lot of that. But they were so excited about the idea that they're going to make a feature film out of it. The first three movies, by the way.
Yeah. This is going to blow our minds how much money they made, isn't it?
Earned a total of $750 million.
Whoa.
Wow.
Hey, man, Adam. Hey.
About $740 million worldwide.
But when were they? 80s?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
That clip reminded me. Forget Beverly Hills Cop 4. Where's Norbit 2? That's what I want to see. Where's Norbit?
Right?
Hey. I'm not mad at you. Norbit had that big girlfriend. She was trying to live.
Sure enough.
She was down the water park, remember?
Sure.
She went down the slide in the water park.
Yep.
Yeah, it was funny.
That's crazy.
Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are going to make another movie together. First time in nearly 10 years since they've done a film. The only one they ever worked on together was 2005's Mr. and Mrs. Smith. That's when all the magic happened right there on the set of that film.
Ah.
Unless you're Jennifer Aniston, then it wasn't so magical. The script is being written for the new movie. And no word exactly on what the premise will be, but they want to work together. One of the reasons they want to do it is because usually only one of them works at a time, since the other one stays home with their six children. So this time they'll be able to be on the set together and have the family around them and put together a movie. Maybe not the best idea for making a movie, but as long as they're happy, that's all we care about, right?
There's the kids running all over the set.
Yeah.
Think those kids have Bubbleberry?
Probably.
Yes.
I bet they do. Because
they got
them.
They got
so much money.
Yeah. So rich. It's only for the It probably makes you beautiful, too. Probably makes you keeps you young forever and keeps you beautiful.
That's helps you lose weight.
That's why it looks so good. Yeah, you never gain a pound. It's got magical properties, the Bubbleberries. And speaking of food, this is not showbiz, but I read the story and my head exploded. The latest craze in Australia for food delivery. Have you heard about this?
No.
Jaffel Shoots.
I've never heard of that.
The name of the company? Jaffel Shoots.
All right.
It is a company in Melbourne, Australia, that you pre-order your meals from them, and then you go out to a large X, which is located on local sidewalks.
Yeah, right.
And they fly over and they parachute your meal to you.
It's drone delivery, like Amazon was talking about?
I believe it's manned planes dropping the parachutes with the meals connected to
them. These people live in the outback?
I'm guessing that's why they have to do it, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
They wait at a designated drop spot, and then the plane flies over and drops you your meal. Now, there have been a few glitches.
Sure.
Sometimes the parachutes will get caught up on the sides of buildings. Or in trees.
That's an issue.
Or in the hands of the wrong customers.
Oh,
that's a problem.
But the idea has been so popular that they're talking about doing it in New York City.
That'll never work.
That is what I want to see. Someone standing in Times Square with their arms up waiting for lunch.
Because that's not going to get stolen.
No, not at all. That won't create a mythical, a ride of mythical proportions as the food starts to come down. They better drop me some freaking Bubbleberries.
Well, maybe that's available. Maybe we should check into that. You can just stand out on the X and just put your look up to the sky.
With my mouth open. Don't even use a parachute. Just drop the Bubbleberries in my mouth.
What the hell?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Lance Henriksen is 74 years old today. Kurt Loder, 69. Bill Ward of Black Sabbath is 66 years old today. It's got to be a hard life to be a rock drummer once you get into your 60s.
Oh, I'll bet.
That's an exhausting gig. Ian McCullough of Echo and the Bunnymen is 55 years old. Brian Williams, the newsman, is 55 years old.
Instead of hip hop, the hippie, to the hip hip hop. You don't stop the rocket to the bang bang. Quickie set up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie, the beat.
Fake. Kurt Sutter of Sons of Anarchy is 54 years old.
Real.
Teeny Others. Remember Teeny Others from Fire?
Sure.
41 years old. Danielle Fischel from Girl Meets World is 33. Henry Cavill's Superman. 31 years old, and singer Adele is 26 years old today. Somebody was confused. They thought it was Adele Dazeem's birthday today, but
no.
Her birthday is not until the fall. We'll be celebrating that later.
Adele Dazeem.
That singer, just regular Adele, is 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Minutes away from the announcement you've been waiting for, K-Rock Weenie Rose 2014. Got all the details for you in about 15 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. By the way, tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, Lisa May.
Yes.
Talk about We're Not Worthy. Paul McCartney.
Wait,
does he know?
Are you serious?
I can't imagine his people have informed him which program he's going to be calling into. But yeah, Paul McCartney.
Wow.
He was in the... Was he the Stones or the Kings? Which one was he? He was one of those,
yeah,
he's one
was
of those guys,
Kings.
Right? He was the Kings. I knew he was one of those guys. Kevin, you didn't watch this weekend, but the White House Correspondents' Dinner was on the TV.
When was it?
Saturday night.
Oh, nope. Hockey game.
Excuse me. C-SPAN. It was celebrating its 100th year this year, by the way, the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And for folks who don't know, it's where Hollywood and Washington come together. And it's actually kind of a fun event. It's a night where you kind of – you have speakers that get up there that make fun of both political parties and also make fun of the media. It's also interesting to see the TV versions of some of these people, like the First Lady from Scandal, along with the First Lady from House of Cards, standing with the real First Lady. I mean, you just see weird things like that. They did a very funny video piece with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who plays Vice President Selena Myers. She did a video piece with the real Vice President Joe Biden, for instance. That was very funny. It's just, it's a real lighthearted night.
Did you say C-SPAN?
That's who airs it. Yes, it's on C-SPAN every year.
Took us a while to find it, let me tell you.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the president gets up and he does his chuck, and he was very funny again this year. And I have a couple of highlights, and then we'll hear from the headliner, our friend Joel McHale, who had that honor this year. But here's a little bit of the president's remarks I think you'll like.
I want to thank the White House Correspondents Association for hosting us here tonight. I am happy to be here. even though I am a little jet-lagged from my trip to Malaysia. The lengths we have to go to get CNN coverage these days.
See, Muggs, you don't get that, but CNN has spent 6 weeks talking about nothing but the airplane. So the president was suggesting that he went to never mind.
I think they're still searching for their table. MSNBC is here. They're a little overwhelmed. They've never seen an audience this big before. While we're talking sports, just last month, a wonderful story. An American won the Boston Marathon for the first time in 30 years, which was inspiring and only fair since a Kenyan has been president for the last six.
Nice.
Even things up. And I'm feeling sorry, believe it or not, for the Speaker of the House as well. These days, the House Republicans actually give John Boehner a harder time than they give me. Which means orange really is the new black.
Now, that's a great joke.
It is a great joke. There were a couple of orange jokes.
John Boehner, for folks who don't know,
is the new black. I don't get that.
He
is super
orange.
Tan.
Oh.
Super tan. He's got the ridiculous like spray tan where he looks orange all the time.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well,
Joel McHale made a joke later in the night about Joe Biden out back talking to a traffic cone that he thought was that was the Speaker of the House. But orange is the new black. Very clever joke. So the president went on for about 20 minutes or so. Then Joel McHale got up and he did a little bit of a chunk. And I got to tell you, Lisa, did you get the feeling that I did that there were some that were a little too barbed for that audience?
Yes.
Like he has.
But isn't that the point?
You're supposed to
not
be.
Not that I ever watch it, but.
You're supposed. Yeah, it's a very fine line to walk because, yeah, you're making fun of people, but you're trying not to be mean about it. You're trying not to hurt people. And he got, I won't say booze, but he got a lot of, oh, he got
oh,
a lot of that.
The best. I
and
like
then
that.
I thought he got uncomfortable and started speeding through stuff, kind of, throwing some stuff away. I don't know.
Dude, it's a,
it
that's
didn't
a
quite
tough
work
room.
For me.
That's a tough yeah. room. I thought there was some very funny stuff, though. Again, here's Joel.
All right, everybody, here we go. I am the last person standing between you and your after party. So in just an hour and 15 minutes, you'll be walking out of here, all right? Good evening, Mr. President, or as Paul Ryan refers to you, yet another inner city minority relying on the federal government to feed and house your family. I'm a big fan of President Obama. I think he's one of the all-time great presidents, definitely in the top 50. Please explain that to Jessica Simpson.
And by the way, was Jessica Simpson there? Because I felt like that's why he said that, because there was a bunch of crazy people there, like Duck Dynasty guys and
yeah.
things like that were there.
What?
A lot of weird celebrities.
And I don't know how it works, but I think that if you're invited to the thing, if you're either a Hollywood person or a Washington person that gets invited, I think oftentimes you're allowed to bring somebody with you.
Right.
And I think somebody might have brought Jessica Simpson.
I'd like to take a moment to recognize the First Lady. Mrs. Obama, you have been very kind to me and my family, especially when you showed us all how to tear a phone book in half with your bare hands. It was incredible. I'd also like to thank the White House Correspondents Association for having me and for not being able to book Jimmy Fallon. That's true. All right. I know it's been a long night, but I promise that tonight will be both amusing and over quickly, just like Chris Christie's presidential bid.
All right, now there's one of the oh,
love it. Yeah.
Governor Christie was there, by the way, and Joel was in no way nearly done with him.
I got a lot of these tonight, so buckle up, Governor Christie. Excuse me, extender buckle up. All right. Now, allow me to tell you a little about myself. My name is Joel McHale. I'm on an NBC show called Community.
People barely recognize that.
That's exactly what I thought. I also host a show called The Soup, which is on the E! Network. Thank you. To Republicans in attendance, E! Is the channel that your deeply closeted gay son likes to watch. Democrats, it's the same channel that your happy, openly gay son likes to watch. He is also home to the Kardashians, who, believe it or not, are Republicans. And I know that because they're always trying to screw black people.
So there you go. There's a What a Joel McHale White House Correspondents' Dinner from Saturday night. Hang on. All the details you need to know for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014 next right here. Our friend Matt Money Smith joins us in moments to talk about the NBA and NHL playoffs. Don't forget, we got tickets for game number two of round number two of the Stanley Cup playoffs, Ducks Kings. You got those next hour here on K-Rock. First, though, how about the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014? Hit it, Steve. Everybody's coming.
K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014, Saturday, May 31st, Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Your official kickoff to summer. Featuring Avicii. So wake me up when it's all over. What if I'm far from home? Oh, brother, I will hear you call. Foster the People. It's like a coming of age.
The girls are here, and the muscle men are here.
I'm complex, cocky, and
punk. Boy.
I hate the beach.
The neighborhood.
I'm afraid it's too cold.
Come on,
Dad,
let go of the riddle and see the girls on the beach.
Bastille.
What if you close your eyes? Does it almost feel like all is
K-Rock Weenie Roast, Fits in the Tantrums. Capital Cities. Fantagram.
And the 1975. American Author.
K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014. Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale Friday at noon.
Proceeds benefit Heal the Bay and the Surf Rider Foundation.
K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014. Presented by Farmer John. Get cooking at farmerjohn.com.
Will Glenda be there?
No word on Glenda. That is like you listen to K-Rock for a couple hours and it comes to life on stage in front of you. That's like every popular song that we're playing on the radio right now in one place on one day. K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014 is going to be Saturday, May 31st, 2014. Once again, we're happy to be back at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, and it is a terrific lineup.
Yeah, and it starts at 6 a.m., oddly enough. You're going to have to really get out of bed.
It might have to with this many bands on the bill.
We have Cherub, we have Bleachers, we have Congos, American Authors, the 1975, Fantagram, Capital Cities, Fits in the Tantrums, Bastille, The Neighborhood, Fall Out Boy, Foster the People, and Avicii.
By the way, so many, I'm so happy to say this about a lot of the bands that we're playing on K-Rock these days. So many of them are so great live, too. I mean, we've been lucky enough to see bands like Bastille and Capital Cities before and Fits in the Tantrums, and they're just all, I mean, it's the perfect, like, summertime, get out there in the nice weather and just dance. Mm-hmm. And I know how you are, Kevin. Dance or die
dance
is your
or die.
Thing.
Right.
Your butt's not going to hit the seat this whole show.
That's correct.
I mean, it's just, it's a terrific lineup. You can get all this information at krock.com. Here's the thing that we always tell you, especially if you're tuning in for the first time, hearing about the K-Rock Weenie Roast and you want to buy tickets, you need to be a K-Rock Street Team member. That's an easy thing to do. It takes like 1 minute to sign up, and that way you get the password so that you can buy tickets when they go on sale this Friday at noon. Friday at noon is the exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale, and you can get all those details at krock.com. Obviously, it's a very, very quick setup, so a sellout, rather, so it does behoove you to be a Street Team member.
It does behoove you.
Thank you, Kevin.
To use a word that I haven't heard in 30 years.
K-Rock. That's a legitimate word, by the way. I stand by behooving.
Behoove. What are you, a librarian? What's going on with you? You're a professor? The K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014, Saturday, May 31st. Here are the details one more time.
Everybody's coming. We're going to have a ball.
K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014, Saturday, May 31st, Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Your official kickoff to summer. Featuring Avicii.
So wake me up when it's all over.
What if I'm far from home? Oh, brother, I will hear you call.
Foster the People.
It's like a coming of age.
Girls are here, and the muscle men are here.
God complex, cock and
one boy.
Oh,
you close your eyes, does it almost feel like all is bad luck here?
K-Rock Winnie Roast fits in the tantrums. Cities, Fantagram,
and the 1975 American author. Congos, Bleachers.
K-Rock Winnie Roast 2014. Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale Friday at noon.
Proceeds benefit Heal the Bay and the Soap Writer Foundation.
K-Rock Winnie Roast 2014. Presented by Farmer John's. Get cooking at farmerjohn.com.
Kevin, you've seen Avicii before.
I have.
Tell me what that's going to be like at the K-Rock Winnie Roast on May 31st.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome.
Yes.
It's so much
what
fun.
What does he do that's awesome?
What does he do that's awesome? Well, I mean, songs. Well,
I mean, look, there are lots of different kinds of DJs, and they're all a little bit different. What's Avicii's thing?
He stands on his head for the whole set.
That is
it's
awesome.
A bizarre choice, but he pulls it off.
I will look forward to seeing that. Avicii, along with Foster the People, Fall Out Boy, The Neighborhood, Bastille, Fits in the Tantrums, Capital Cities, Fantagram, The 1975, American Authors, Congos, Bleachers, and Cherub. There's your lineup for the K-Rock Winnie Rose 2014. Just announced Saturday, May 31st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale for the K-Rock Street Team members this Friday at noon. You can get all the details at krock.com. Hey, Matt Money Smith from the Petrus Money Radio Show on AM 570. How are you, sir?
What's happening there, Bean? Hey, Kev.
Hey, how was your weekend?
It was good. You know, we had a big Kings victory, heck of a hockey game on Saturday night. I did a little fundraiser action for the fine folks over there at Long Beach State. Go Dirtbags.
I doubt seriously they're the Dirtbags.
Are they the Dirtbags?
Yeah, that's like they're the 49ers, but their baseball team's nickname is the Dirtbags.
Love it.
And that's kind of what they go by.
I love it. It's been 20 years that we've been waiting for Kings Ducks in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it finally happened this week, and they finally met for the first time ever in the postseason, and it lived up to the hype.
Yeah, it sure did. It's funny, too. You know, it should have been at 20 years exactly. It's been 21. The Ducks came in 93. But remember, the Ducks lost Game 7 last year. And who would have thought, and it looked like it wasn't going to happen again this year with the Kings down 0-3. But,
right.
You know, good on those Kings for rallying and making sure we could finally get it. And I don't think it disappointed one bit.
Not for Kings fans, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I had a friend of mine, my friend Bob, longtime Kings fan. He said, I don't know, man. I just as soon not have this happen, because if the Ducks beat the Kings, it'd be devastating. And I said, you know, at the same time, I think you'll get in the middle of this series, and whoever loses will come out saying that was awesome. As crazy as it sounds, because the rivalry is strong and the two teams really do hate one another, I got a feeling you're going to come out of this series regardless saying we got to do that again.
Well, it's certainly great for hockey in Southern California. Yeah. Not that it needs any help. It's doing fine, but it's still very, very exciting and a lot of fun. And, you know, we talked to Captain Getzlaff on Friday's show, and he was just so grateful that the guys don't have to travel. I mean, that's just going to make it all the better for the players, too.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, like we talked to Jarrett Stoll, and he said they still, you know, will go down to Anaheim on a bus on Friday and stay at a hotel in Anaheim.
Is that right?
Like it's a road game.
Just to keep the normal schedule?
Yeah, I think it just might be kind of weird having each player get to the, you know, a road game individually in their cars. Where do we park? You know what I mean? I think
that makes
statistically
sense.
It's easier to have, you know, the guy that runs the show tell you where to go, where to be, and they take care of everything
sure.
else.
This is the voice of our friend Matt Money Smith, co-host of the Petros and Money Radio Show on Fox Sports Radio AM 570 weekday afternoons. Magic Johnson last week, amidst all the controversy and the interviews he was doing with the Donald Sterling situation, said something that I thought was curious, Matt. He said that in all the years he's been following basketball, this is the best postseason he has ever seen. Do you agree?
Wow, I did not see that question coming. I thought you were going to say he sent out this stupidest tweet about his head coach being fired and how happy he was, basically dancing on his pink slip.
Yeah.
Well, look at the Western Conference. You had three series go to 7 games and one go to 6. So out of a possible 28 games, you got to watch 27.
Right.
That pretty much, I think, you know, quantitatively summarizes how good it's been, and the fact that, you know, both number one seeds had to play a game 7. You know, a number two seed we thought was going to get knocked off. And ended up squeaking through. So certainly, I mean, in terms of upsets and in terms of parity, it's been pretty darn good.
How about that game over the weekend where the lead changed twice in the final second of the game?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, and look at even yesterday when it looked like the Raptors were going to get blown out, they rallied from a 10-point deficit in a minute and 40 seconds. So certainly, I mean, the Damian Lillard shot, though, that you're speaking of, the Portland game was unreal. I mean, and there's a really cool, people should seek it out. There's a really cool Vine video that you can probably get on Deadspin that it's someone sitting in a courtside seat that has just this perfect line of sight, just right even with Damian Lillard as he's wrapping around that screen, clapping his hands. You can hear him going, come on, come on, come on.
Right.
And the ball comes, and he launches it. It's really cool to see.
It's just unbelievable to get a ball in bounds with less than a second, and then for a guy to be open enough to make a shot like that, even though it was off balance and way outside the three-point line. And the fact that it went in was just unbelievable. I mean, it's the thing that sports are made of. What did you think of the Clippers-Warriors series, and how did you feel LA did considering all this extra stress and pressure they were under this time?
Well, you know, it's funny. Some people thought that was going to be an easy series for the Clippers, and I just didn't see it. Sterling's situation, you know, notwithstanding, I didn't see that. That Golden State team, they score so many points. And if you find yourself in a rut at all, or one of your stars scores, gets in foul trouble, you're going to have a tough time keeping up. And that's just the reality of it. Now, I honestly think that could be a tougher series for them than the Oklahoma City series.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. There's just that you can't – and Durant's the kind of player that Steph Curry is, which is whatever you want to do defensively, forget it. You know, you just – you're not –
let him have what he's going
to
do and then
– exactly. There's nothing you can do to stop him. But Curry's different because you just – he's so quick, and he's the point guard of their offense. At the same time, you have to keep an eye on how he's distributing the ball. But if you fall asleep for a half second, boom, that ball is gone, and it's through the net. Now, Durant's just as good, but he needs someone to get the ball to him. You know, he doesn't bring it up the floor, and I think
right. That
relaxes your defense a little bit. So I like the matchup. I really do. I think it's a good matchup. I think it's a better matchup than Memphis, believe it or not. I don't like the way the Clippers match up with Memphis. So
Lisa May was in Oklahoma last week visiting family, and she's decided she's now the world's biggest Oklahoma City Thunder fan.
To be a Thunder fan.
I think she and Dave are going to be throwing down this week. I think it's going to be very ugly around the office as this series proceeds.
See, here's what's great about that, though, Bean. I have to believe that you're, of all fine folks in L.A., I mean, you're the biggest not Oklahoma City.
Of course. I want bad things to happen to Oklahoma. Absolutely. They used to be my Sonics, for folks who don't know.
Exactly. So there you go, Lisa. You're taking out some carpetbags.
Wow.
The Beans Town and snatched his franchise from him.
Let me ask you one more thing. You saw the USA Today report, I'm sure, and it's been reported elsewhere, about something bizarre that happened after Game 7 between the Clippers and the Warriors last night. Some sort of altercation, some sort of shouting match between the teams. You know anything about that, Matt?
No, I mean, just what has been reported. And I heard it wasn't that big of a deal. That it was, you know, just, I guess the Warriors took issue with the way that the locker rooms are laid out in Staples Center. If you've ever been to them, it's kind of weird. There's sort of this, like, little coach's room in between the two, the home and the road. But then the training rooms are real close to one another, and I guess they could hear them just kind of talking some smack, and they got upset, and they got a little lippy. I think it's just a perfect case of, you know, guys puffing out their chests and mean-mugging
right. Each
other, but no physical altercation.
And the Warriors, understandably, super depressed in that moment, too. You know, they were already irritable, I'm sure, from losing losing in Game 7.
Oh, yeah, not to mention, I mean, you know, up double digits in Game 7 and watching it slip away. And these two teams really, and it is great that they've got to play in the playoffs because they really don't like each other. There's issues there. I don't know why they don't like Blake Griffin, but they really don't. Bogut and Blake Griffin don't like each other one bit. Chris Paul, of course, has a perennial chip on his shoulder. So it's actually been great. You know, who would have thought that of all the rivalries, you know, look at the Celtics and Lakers. They combined to have the worst record between the two franchises in their history of the NBA when you put the two of them together. And you have the Clippers-Warriors is the most exciting rivalry.
Yeah. All right, last question for me, Matt, and that is this. With all the names that are swirling around of potential buyers for the Los Angeles Clippers, are you willing to still support a league that might let Oprah own a team?
Oh, man.
That's a tough one, right?
Mm-hmm. But see, here's the great thing about that.
She's
in a trio with Larry Ellison. And even though I can't necessarily support what Larry Ellison does business-wise, it's pretty cool when they say, hey, what does your owner do to be able to say, oh, he owns Hawaii? What?
Yeah,
he owns Hawaii. He owns one of the islands of Hawaii. And there's just something cool about the fact that guy owns Hawaii as the guy that would own the Clippers.
Yeah, that is weird. Are they going to change coaches to Dr. Phil if that happens?
See what you did there because of the Oprah thing?
See?
Tom Cruise as well. He can be a physician. There you go.
All right. Matt Money Smith along with our good friend Petros Papadakis, weekday afternoons at AM 570. Matt, always great to talk to you, sir. Thanks for the time.
All right, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Foster the People right there, one of the bands that's playing the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2014. Coming up, Fall Out Boy, The Neighborhood, Bastille, Fits and the Tantrums. They're all on the bill.
Bongos! Bongos!
It's, yeah. It's Congos, by the way. Right?
It's Congos.
Hey, before we do the showbiz beat, though, we do have one piece of unfinished business from last week to take care of, and that's the grand prize drawing to be king for a day to see Kings of Leon. I got to hit the thing again. In London, Kevin, who is our winner?
Ty Fairchild. Ty Fairchild.
I say, Ty Fairchild.
From Winnetka.
Ty will feel right at home in jolly old England.
He just won a trip to London from K-Rock.
Yep, that happened.
Pretty good deal right there. All right, time for the showbiz beat now, and then we'll talk 24, Live Another Day, with the co-creators, writers, and executive producers of that show that starts tonight on Fox. That's all coming up on K-Rock.
Can't wait for the return of Jack Bauer.
Same.
Speaking of merry old England, doesn't look too merry regarding him.
Yeah, they're not. They haven't taken a shine to him at all.
I hope he kicks their ass and then gets some bubble berries. Bring them home. Freaking Brits with their bubble berries. They got everything over there.
They do.
I wonder if I should. Do we give away anything here? Do we have any? You guys busy? The phone's busy at all?
It's all yours.
Can
it's all you.
Can I give something away here?
Do it.
Thought before I got into showbiz news, I would give you. These are really cool. This is a, as they say, a much coveted ticket in town. These are passes for the premiere of Godzilla.
Yay!
That's a pretty good Godzilla, by the way.
Right, it
that's
is.
A pretty good Godzilla.
Yeah. Get me started. I'm furious about this Bubbleberry thing. You don't want to get on the wrong side of me today.
That's the best Godzilla I've ever heard.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Right.
Yeah, this movie, come on. How excited are you about this film? Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Elizabeth Olsen, Bryan Cranston, of course. It is the world's most famous monster returning to do bad things to us. The premiere is, it's going to be quite the event. It is happening at the Dolby Theater. Right there where they do the Oscars each and every year in Hollywood and Highland. May the 8th. If you'd like to go, and why wouldn't you? This is going to be a big-time showbiz event. Call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers will get a pair of passes to attend the premiere of Godzilla. Godzilla's in theaters everywhere May the 16th. So you'll see it, like, weeks before your friends. You can lord that over them. Speaking of movies, top 10 movies at the box office. It is Monday morning, meaning we look to see what people went to go see in the theaters this weekend. Spider-Man 2, in its debut, made just about $95 million this weekend. Pretty spectacular, Spider-Man. The Other Woman was second, right behind Spider-Man 2 with $14.2 million.
I'm sorry, right behind.
Well,
14, well, 95.
Well, it's a ways behind. Heaven is for Real, Captain America the Winter Soldier, and Rio 2 were your top five films at the box office. The rest of the top 10, Brick Mansions, Divergent, The Quiet Ones, God Is Not Dead, and The Grand Budapest Hotel. Sad news, a legendary actor had tapered off his career in the past decade or so, but it's understandable since he passed away at the age of 95. His name was Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. He had a very popular series called The 77 Sunset Strip, ran from 1958 to 64. Then he went from that hit show a year later right into another one, The FBI.
The FBI!
Ran from 1965 to 1974. He was also a very popular voice actor as well. Perhaps most famously playing the role of Alfred in the classic Batman the Animated Series TV show. His daughter, of course, Stephanie Zimbalist, was a star in her own right on NBC's Remington Steele, and he would make appearances on that show as well. But a great actor, classically handsome, one of those matinee idol types, passed away on his ranch in Solvang at the age of 95.
Pretty good way to go.
That's how you want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doc, our newsman, actually knew him.
Really?
I'm sorry?
Doc knew him.
Okay.
And according to the family, they said they found him passed in his garden, fully dressed, with a smile on his face at 95.
Is Doc a suspect?
I don't believe any foul play is suspected. Bean. Why you gotta be like that, man?
Because that's how both of us are gonna go out.
And smiling in your garden on your ranch in Solvang?
No, at Doc's hands. We just wondered when the killing spree was gonna begin.
If he was gonna start, I don't think he'd start with Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.
No. That would be an odd choice, right? Like, how is he on the list ahead of us?
Unless he was warming up. Let me warm up on the old guy first.
He won't put up much of a fight.
Just to get his legs under him. Just to get the system.
Work out the technique.
That's right. And Ben Affleck.
Guilty.
He may very well may be. He has reportedly been banned from gambling at the Hard Rock Cafe for life because he got caught counting cards in blackjack. Not exactly counting cards. It's a particular technique called his perfect basic. Came about in the 60s. A Princeton mathematician and statistician put this plan together, and they caught Ben using this technique. And as Kevin brought up earlier, it's not against the law to use this,
or to count cards.
This technique, or to count cards.
Yeah.
But the casinos do reserve the right to say, go away.
But I just want to know why. Just tell me that, will you please? Just tell me why.
Because you're cheating at blackjack, apparently. So they said he's out, but Hard Rock came back and said, oh, we love Ben. Oh, we love, he's the best.
You kidding?
He's welcome here anytime.
We didn't ban
except
him.
To play blackjack. He's welcome anytime to do anything
except blackjack
here at our hotel. I hope he enjoys the pool and all the money he spends and his suite and the restaurants. We love him. And we want him to enjoy his day.
But not play blackjack.
So. Even the rich peoples, mans, they got problems.
They do.
If you got all that kind of money, do you have to? You have to. Just play the game. Just sit down and play some blackjack. Don't get out your calculator and your abacus, and don't try to.
I think that's the challenge of it,
man.
Though.
Just play the game.
That's the challenge of it.
How is it a challenge if you don't even feel the loss?
I don't know. Maybe he's just a competitive guy. Just
I heard he won $800,000 in one hand of blackjack.
Oh my god!
He was playing three hands.
Wow!
At a $20,000 table. And he won all three hands. And
who knew there was a $20,000 table?
he won $800,000 one night.
Wow.
Which I guess is a lot easier when you're cheating.
It's not cheating, by the way.
So I'm cheating if they catch you, brah.
Well, they caught him, so I guess it is.
I guess it is. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lance Hendrickson is 74 years old today. Kurt Loder is 69. Bill Ward of Black Sabbath turned 66. Ian McCullough of Echo and the Bunnymen is 55 years old. Brian Williams, newsman. 55 years old. Kurt Sutter from Sons of Anarchy, 54 years old. Tina Yathers, she was on Family Ties. She was a little kid on Family Ties. Now she's 41. Danielle Fishel from Boy Meets World, now Girl Meets World. She's 33 years old. Henry Cavill, Superman from The Man of Steel, is 31. And singer Adele
is 20, Dazeem.
Just Adele. Oh. Is 26 years
old. There's a lot of talk about this singer, Adele.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, talented, but yeah. Everybody knows she's fat, right?
Oh, come
how
on.
How dare you?
Wow.
She's adorable.
What possible difference could that make, sir?
That's just mean.
It is mean. You'd never want to play that call again.
No.
I don't know how he got through live on our phone, but we won't play that tape again.
That's
a pre-recorded tape that Bean just played?
How dare you? Way to go, Muggs.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show, but
I am seeing a lot of Fall Out Boy fans on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Very excited about the announcement this morning of K-Rock's Weenie Roast 2014 coming up on Saturday, May 31st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Yes, your band is going to be there along with Avicii and Foster the People, The Neighborhood, Bastille, Fits in the Tantrums, Cap Cities, and so many more. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon. Get the details at krock.com.
Let's talk about 24.
Come on with the 24. Co-creators, writers, and executive producers of 24 Live Another Day, which premieres tonight on the Fox channel. Manny Coto, Evan Katz, welcome you guys. How are you?
Thank you. We're thrilled to be here.
We're happy to have you, sir.
Sirs.
Sirs, sorry. A lot of bad things sure happened to Jack Bauer. that guy does not have very many easy days, does he?
Thank God, or we wouldn't have anything to watch tonight.
Did you ever think this would come about?
Not in a million years.
Once it went away? No.
Yes.
Never. When we were done with season 8, we fled. It was we were just hired, and it was harder and harder to come up with new things to do, and a grind. I mean, it was really hard to do 12 this year. To do 24, I actually don't know how he did it.
Evan had to live as a male prostitute.
Is that right?
Times were hard for a little while there.
You were working Vaseline Alley?
I went through 11 pairs of knee pads.
Wow. Turned dark fast, man.
You earned this show.
No, my kids may be listening. Lasted only 15 minutes.
My kids may be listening to this.
Oh, sorry.
So, guys, go to school.
Yeah, turn the station.
All right, so I remember watching the very first episode of 24 and thinking to myself, these guys are crazy because they just shot through an entire what I considered a season of content in one episode. How do you even follow up the first episode, let alone...
Talking about this year?
No, the very first one.
You know, Joel Surnow and Bob Cochran, Joel actually pitched me the idea when he was writing the pilot. He was actually working on a show of mine. And, you know, he said, it's going to be like an hour for every real hour. And I thought to myself, this will never work.
That puts a lot of restrictions on you, obviously, as a writer, yeah.
Yeah, but their genius was that you didn't need less story. You needed 10 times the amount of story
that
a normal show would have. And, you know.
The show eats up story. I started in season 5, and we started season 5 with, hey, we're going to do an airport siege. There's terrorists going to take an airport. It'll take over 6 episodes. Fantastic. Great. 2 episodes, we were
right.
Yeah.
Now what?
Now what do we do?
It just sucks up story.
Did it ever get any easier for you season after season?
No, it only gets harder. It gets harder and harder
because you don't want to repeat yourself. Yeah.
We don't want to repeat ourselves, or at least don't look like we're repeating ourselves. Try to mask the fact that we're repeating ourselves.
And then it became harder and harder to find people that Jack cared about, which was always a way to generate story because awful things tended to happen.
Which brings us to Alicia Cuthbert. Is she going to be on this program?
We don't want to give any spoilers away.
But does he still have a daughter?
Has a daughter.
Okay.
Whether she will appear, we cannot confirm or deny.
Mm. By the way, if I were walking down the street and I saw Jack Bauer waved at me, I would run in the other
direction.
Yeah,
well, of course. Exactly. Of course.
No good.
That's not good.
Yeah.
So how did it happen? This is so rare in the history of television that a show goes off the air and then comes back. How did it happen?
Well, I'll tell you, the 24 was one show that I think still had a kind of a built-in fan base when it went off the air. It wasn't one of those shows where, I mean, some people were ready to see it say goodbye, but a lot of people, I got a lot of people on, saying, I wish that show were back. I wish Jack Bauer was still around. So there was still kind of a feeling in the air that there was something there. And of course, there was a movie being discussed. I mean, people were talking about it.
A lot,
scripts written. And then it just kind of, a phone call came one day. I'm a cigar smoker, and every evening I sit on my porch smoking cigars. Get a call from Howard Gordon and say, hey, we were spitballing with, the head of the network. I don't believe who it was, but it might have been Kevin Riley or
Peter Rice.
Peter Rice, I'm sorry. And they say, hey, what if we brought it back? And I think Peter Rice said, we'll give you 12 episodes. And suddenly Howard said, would you be available? I was just finishing Dexter. And would you be available? And I was. But I was like, okay, sure. Good luck with that. That'll never happen. I think it was just one of those strange, fun calls from Howard and by. But months later, here we were.
But deals were made. The cast, Kiefer, and everybody was...
Deals were struck. And,
right.
And
quickly,
suddenly,
was he...
Yeah.
Was he
quickly.
Happy to come back to it?
I think that, we knew early on he was very interested. Otherwise, we wouldn't...
He seems to have a great deal of affection for this role.
He does. And I think he was. I think he was delighted to come back. But I also think he was wary. I mean, he was concerned. He wanted it to be. He didn't just want to come back.
Right.
He wanted it to be good, and for there to be a reason to come back. I think he's very happy with where we ended up.
Manny Cotto and Evan Katz are in studio with us. We're talking about 24 Live Another Day. They are the co-creators, writers, executive producers of the show, which airs tonight on Fox at 8. So this is how far after the last we saw of Jack Bauer does tonight's show open?
We are playing the 4 years that have actually taken place between series as real time. Sometimes we would bounce a couple of years between seasons. And in fact, I think it was in season 6 or 6 where we were looking at some of the set designs, and they were extremely futuristic. And we went to the production, and I said, well, what's going on? They said, well, don't you realize it was 2 years between 1 and 2 and 3 years between this and this?
They had done the math.
And they said, it's 2016.
That's amazing.
You know, and we're like, no. It happens now. There literally was a futuristic television tree. It looked like from Star Trek.
Weird. Yeah.
Hey, no math here. Let's just keep it going.
Please, the show takes place in the perpetual now.
Yes. So what? How did Jack Bauer? Will this question be answered tonight? What has Jack Bauer been doing? Has he been living underground, living in the shadows this whole time?
Honestly,
changed his identity or what?
I don't even remember how it ended.
Well, it ended with Jack, as a fugitive. He had gone on a rampage going after a bunch of Russians who had killed someone who he loved. And Chloe was the last person in CTU, and she basically killed a satellite feed so that Jack could escape.
Oh, right.
So Jack's a fugitive. When we pick him up, he is a most wanted man.
He has a fake mustache, and he's running an Indian takeout restaurant.
Yes, but that didn't last very long. That disguise didn't last because the food was really crappy.
So we shot that episode. We had to can it.
Right. Exactly.
So apparently, just from what I've seen in the trailer, apparently Chloe has been working out and got ridiculously hot in the last 4 years. How did that happen, guys?
Well, you know what? She was getting pretty hot in the later years of the show.
She's hot slash emo.
She started off in season four a little dorky. But as you saw, she got hotter and hotter, and by the end, she was looking pretty good.
Yeah,
she's just she's a little emo. She's
right.
She's embraced the subculture a little bit. She's a rebel. She's a rebel.
I remember she used to wear a vest all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
And then one day we came back for the next season, and the vest was gone.
And that was and the world was better for it. Yeah. I say that. All right, we have to take a break. We have many more questions, some of which you are not going to be able to answer, I'm sure. But I think our questions will be answered tonight on Fox at 8 o'clock for 24 Live Another Day. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock.
NHL Playoffs Game 2, Ducks-Kings. If you'd like to go, it is tonight at Honda Center. We'll take callers right now, 1-800-520-1067. You'll have to earn your way in, but we will play a game next.
And it is tonight, so don't call unless you can go tonight. In studio right now, Manny Coto and Evan Katz. They are the co-creators, writers, and executive producers of 24 Live Another Day. Yes, it's the return of Jack Bauer tonight on Fox at 8 p.m. We are so excited. Guys, in the 4 years that you were down, and I know how topical your show likes to be, has the world of espionage changed a little bit? Do you have new things to play with now?
Well, dramatically.
Yes, and thank God, because, we had done several rounds of nuclear weapons, several rounds of biological weapons. And, yes, it was one of the first things we said was, okay, aside from, 4 years ago, not everyone had an iPad.
Right.
What else has changed? And I don't think I'm giving much away, but, Mark Snowden, Julian Assange, very interesting, completely unheard of.
Chloe way ahead of her time,
Chloe thinks those guys are pussies.
Sure, of course. Now, what was the thinking? How many different locations did you consider? How did you end up in London? How did that all go?
I think London was pretty much decided from the very start.
It just seemed
like the right place, and everybody spoke English. So we don't have Jack with running around with a translating book.
Sacre bleu.
So we didn't have to worry about that. But it's just a great place, a very exciting place, and a story kind of generated from that.
Is it hard not to be influenced by other shows that cover similar territory? And I'm thinking, of course, of Homeland, which has come since you guys were gone.
Nice. This show is so unique that we don't influence anybody. It's like our own trajectory.
Yeah,
it really.
I mean, I think the show has been an influence on other shows more so. But it really has its own rhythm and its own logic and its own way of cheating around some real-time issues.
I mean, I know one thing is that we are not Homeland. I mean, we are right. 24 lives in its own universe. Homeland is a fantastic show, one of my favorite shows, but it's a totally different treatment of the same subject.
What's the toughest thing you guys ever asked Kiefer Sutherland as an actor to do on 24? Because he got himself into some pretty serious and very physical situations.
God, that is a really good question.
That's a good question. There's been so many.
Nothing that he hasn't lived through.
This is not a particularly satisfying answer, but we give him these huge chunks of expository dialogue that have to be delivered in order for the audience to be able to follow the plot. And you go, God, how the hell is he going to do this?
Yeah, I don't think I remember there being any huge chunks of it. It's running and shooting and explosions.
It goes so fast.
Because the way he delivers it, it doesn't sound Like, that's what it is. It just, it's really urgent. There's no punctuation. And it's, you know, my wife always says when he's really angry, he'll say it twice. Open the door. Open the door.
That's true. So he is, again, to take us back to where we start tonight on Fox at 8 o'clock, he is considered by many an enemy of the United States. He is not welcome back in our country, right? And
he's an enemy of everybody, isn't he?
He's an enemy. He's a fugitive. He is, you know, he's a madman gone crazy.
And he did kind of go crazy at the end of season 8.
At the end of season 8. He went nuts. He was, you know, dressed up in leather costumes, I mean, with leather gear, attacking a presidential convoy, I believe, in a tunnel. He went nuts.
Hockey mask,
that's right.
Can you guys, or is it even necessary for you guys to legitimately be able to justify his behavior? I mean, is it okay to do the things he does as long as he's saving more people than he's killing?
You had to answer that question the whole series, didn't you?
Well, Jack, except for going a little nuts at the end of season 8, always put himself last. He doesn't do any of this stuff for himself. He's always more than willing to sacrifice himself. And that's being a true hero, and it excuses a bunch of, you know, really bad behavior.
At least in our minds. We can go to bed at night.
Right.
You're fine with that. Now, when they meet tonight, it looks like, I watched the special on Saturday night, it looks like Chloe and he are not seeing eye to eye at all.
No, in fact, Chloe's more of a rebel than he is. She's actually a bigger fugitive because she actually has turned against her country. I mean, I don't want to give anything away, but she is in a much darker place than Jack is. And when you find out in subsequent episodes why, you understand. But they are at loggerheads.
And it's just really interesting. I mean, we've never done that.
Yeah.
Will these 12 episodes air in consecutive weeks, or are you going to do like the new trend to play 4 here and then wait 4 months and then play 3 more and then wait a month?
And wait a year.
they're airing consecutively.
Consecutively.
We're not pausing.
Tonight is at 8 o'clock. Is it a two-hour?
Two-hour premiere.
And then the regular time is Mondays at 9.
Correct.
That's correct.
Can't wait.
A total of 11 straight weeks.
By the way, all you guys really need to do to sell this show is come in, sit down, and go, Yvonne Strahovski, good night.
Yeah, it's true.
Pretty much. Thank you for being here.
And you got us. That's all you have to say are those two magic words, and we are in. All right.
She is awesome.
She is awesome. Yeah. Manny, you worked with her over at Dexter, too, right?
So that's correct.
Is that how she ended up on this show, too?
Yes, that was my suggestion. I mean, she was tremendous on Dexter. And
you do good work.
Needed,
by the way,
that
was your suggestion.
Thank you very much.
I want you in charge of every show on TV.
It didn't take a lot of thinking. There wasn't a lot of ruminating over that decision.
All right. Anything else you want our listeners to know before they set their DVRs for 8 o'clock on Fox?
No, listen, it's going to be a fantastic ride. It's the show as it was with some new elements and Yvonne Strahovski.
Can't wait. There so excited. Great to meet you guys. Thanks so much for coming
down
to Kevin.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank you for waking me up all these years.
You bet. Thank you.
Honda Center tonight, Anaheim Ducks taking on the Los Angeles Kings in round 2 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. First time those two teams have ever met in the postseason. We have tickets for you right now at 1-800-520-1067. It's time for the Kevin and Bean title fight.
Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a
hockey playoff game.
I feel a lack of effort there.
Thank you, low-rent DJ Omar Khan. All right, so Dave and Lisa are going to be giving clues on this end like they do, and the callers are going to be trying to come up with the names of NHL teams. The only caveat for this game, guys, is we're not including the cities. No clues about the city. You can't mention the city. You're just going to be describing the names of the teams. You guys got that?
Got it.
Sure.
All right. Let's meet Jose. He's on line one. He's going to be one of our two contestants. Hi, Jose. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, good, good. Morning, you guys.
Good morning.
Hi,
Happy
Jose.
Cinco de Mayo. Woo!
Thank you.
So, Jose, you like El Hockey?
Yes.
I don't believe that's how it's said.
who do you want to be your partner? Dave, who talks a big game but almost never wins, or Lisa, who is quiet and beautiful but usually dominates?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go with Lisa.
Ah, smart boy.
All right. So the way I remember it, if I remember correctly, you got to pick your partner, so we're gonna make you go first. That's the trade-off. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, so 45 seconds on the clock. Lisa is going to be describing hockey team names, professional
don't
NHL
look, Lisa.
Hockey
I
team
to
names.
Turn it right
Cheater.
Up.
All right.
Okay.
And if you don't know one, if you just are drawing a big fat blank, you can always say pass and come back if there's time at the end of it. Okay.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. This is when a bunch of snow falls down the mountain and covers people up.
Avalanche.
You light a fire and you get smoke and...
Lightning.
No, when you light a flyer. Okay. When you look up into the sky, you see planets and you also see twinkling in the sky at night. What do you see?
Stars.
Okay. A bird flies with these. What do they fly with?
What's... Black hawks?
No.
Wings.
Uh-huh. And the color?
Red wings.
Okay. Hawaii is this. Tahiti is one.
Island.
Longer.
So close to Islanders. By the way, Lisa May is so good at this game.
Thank you.
So good at this game. You
that
came up with
a
avalanche.
Long clock.
Avalanche, flames, stars, and red wings. So you got four. That's
by the way, Jose, let me just butt in and say, she said when you look up in the sky. and it took you a long time to get stars.
Oh, Jose.
Come on.
You didn't even guess moon or anything. You just went,
You did eat up a lot of clock on stars. But still, four, that's pretty good,
that's
especially
pretty good.
Especially since, you know, Dave's the other player.
Right.
So, all right. So that's Jose. Now we move down to line five. I think Sandra is going to be our next contestant.
Sandra.
Hi, Sandra.
Hello.
First of all, we apologize that you got stuck with the king as your partner.
I'm pretty sad about that, but Dave, you better do good.
You better do good. How are you feeling after hearing Jose get four?
I think I could do it.
Okay. All right, you know the rules.
Oh, no, her name's Sandra.
Yeah, take it easy. You're the clue giver.
Good luck to you guys.
All right, wolves are these, sharks, they are?
Predators.
All right. Airplanes do what?
Fly tires.
Okay. Not God, but?
Devils.
Okay.
Red devils.
No, you're fine.
You're right the first time.
All right. This makes syrup. These make syrup.
Maple leaf.
All right. This is a storm. Big storms.
Oh, my God. Hurricanes.
Nice.
Victory! Unbelievable.
Easy peasy cover girl.
Look at Dave taking credit for the fact that you're a great contestant.
Well, Sandra,
Dave.
Way to go. You're going to be at Honda Center tonight to see the Ducks take on the Kings. Thanks for playing the Kevin and Bean title fight.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's title fight.
Oh, yeah! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51.
I'm just saying, I don't know that Kevin can be trusted with Paul McCartney, Ralph. That's my fear.
It's a worthy fear.
How dare you?
Was this vetted
can't
by anyone?
Can't be trusted with Paul Rubens, alone Paul McCartney.
I feel like,
how dare you?
I think Kevin needs to go home early. He doesn't
how
look well.
How dare you?
Doesn't look well.
Paul McCartney on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show. I'm just terrified that the only thing that Kevin will be able to think, because you know how Kevin is. You tell him not to say something.
Queenie Eye, who's got the ball? O-U-T spells out.
It's all he's going to want to do is mock him for
Queenie
one
eye,
song.
Queenie Eye, who's got the ball? I haven't got it. It isn't in my pocket. O-U-T spells out. And that's out.
Correct me if I'm wrong. That's not the only thing Paul McCartney is known for, right?
That is it.
That's the only song he's ever made. Yeah,
only song.
According to Kevin.
Anyway, very excited about that tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
I think one Let It Be gives you 10 Queenie Pies.
I agree.
I think that's the ratio you get after you do that.
He needs some more Let It Be's then.
And then you do a Yesterday. Well, he's had plenty of Let It Be's. He's had Let It Be. He's had Yesterday. He's had Long and Winding Road. Dozens and dozens of Helter Skelter. Just don't worry about it, Kevin. He's fine. Paul freaking McCartney.
I'll do my job.
You're going to start tomorrow? All of a sudden, you're turning a new leaf?
I'll do my job as well as I normally do.
Let me tell you
what terrifies me.
Let me tell you a little Kevin story.
What?
There's a story in the news that just screams Kevin. There's some guys who decide they have to get part of bus. We've got to get part of bus. We're going for bachelor party from Minnesota to Kentucky Derby. Near part of us, right?
Who goes to the Kentucky Derby?
Dude, that's a great party. That's a great party. Kentucky Derby's an awesome party.
Ugh.
What is wrong with Kentucky Derby?
You have to dress up, and the women all wear their little stupid hats.
They're huge
nonsense.
Stupid hats.
It was on all weekend.
Hold on. By the way, wait a minute. You hate hats? That's your problem with the big party in Kentucky? All the bourbon that's flowing, all the mint juleps and everything? It's the hats that hold you back?
It's a minute and a half event that they take 2 days to cover. It's absurd.
That's a party for 2 days.
Absurd, sir.
Why does Kevin hate
good things?
Kentucky Derby.
So they rent an RV, and they're cruising to the Kentucky Derby, and then one of their parties, they're on the party bus, realizes that they have a dead body in one of the RV compartments.
Yay!
Is it one of them? Or
nope.
Really?
No, stranger. Oh, I don't know this guy. Do you know this guy?
Wow. Sounds to me like the vehicle was not properly cleaned out before it was turned over to the next renter.
May not have been maintained. According to one passenger, one of the RV's owners had reportedly told the gang that two of the vehicle's compartments weren't operable and should remain closed at all times.
That's warning sign one.
No, don't open that one. That's nuts.
There's nothing in there.
Broken. It's broken. It's broken.
Why would he rent it out with a body in it?
And those on board pulled into the last designated pickup spot. A bunch of guys, they were picking them up along the way. Somebody opened the door to put their luggage in, and an unpleasant odor wafted out.
Oh, my God.
They opened the second door, and there was a male body.
Wow.
One of the partiers described the body as not looking fresh.
Really?
Yeah.
It was dead-ish.
Police were called. They seized the RV. They took the gang into this police station to be questioned and fingerprinted and interrogated. The groom-to-be says the police quickly figured out they had nothing to do with it. And then, anyway, the party did not go off as hoped.
So, Kevin, they should consider themselves lucky because they didn't have to go to the Kentucky Derby, right?
Oh, my God. What a nightmare that must be.
Why? How could it possibly be a nightmare when all it is booze and partying and hookers and a good time? How is that not a good thing?
So many women at that thing, too, by the way.
Yes,
there are so many women at that thing.
Is it because
60-plus?
Because people put the ties on? Is that an automatic deal-breaker for you?
That's one deal-breaker for me, yes.
You go out in the desert and eat dirt with hippies for 2 weekends in a row, but you won't put on a jacket and enjoy a blast at the Kentucky Derby.
That is not a blast, sir.
Andrew Siciliano was tweeting this weekend that the Kentucky Derby is one of the greatest live sporting events he's ever been to, by the way.
And I was thinking just the opposite. What a nightmare that would be to go to that event. That would suck.
Is it because you have to wear big boy clothes? Is that really the deal breaker
for
you?
That's part of it.
That's such a horrible thing.
The average age, 60 to 80.
That's madness. Have you seen any of the coverage at all?
I watched some of it because I had to keep turning away from it because it was on Channel 220, which is NBC Sports, and I was hoping for hockey. And then that comes up.
Sometimes I just turn on channel and hope for hockey. And then
they
knock
have
it
all
on.
The playoffs.
But if only was where I could find out when shows are going to be on my television. But I can't. I just go on hope for best.
How dare you?
How dare you?
I saw so many young, attractive women at that Kentucky Derby this weekend.
Of course you did.
How dare
you?
So many.
Of course you did. Dear God in heaven.
Please.
This is a cool story. Zakk Wylde, legendary guitarist, had his guitar stolen from his tour bus in March. They found it at a pawn shop. 10 days later, the guitar was worth $10,000. The thief was paid by the pawn shop $50 for the guitar. Shop held onto it for 30 days, then brought the instrument to the Chicago Music Exchange. The guys that there realized it was Zach's guitar and called the police, and he's going to get it back once the crime investigation is wrapped up. But that's good news. He's getting his guitar back. It is Monday. We take a look at the movies at the box office and see who made how much money. Spider-Man 2, no surprise there, made $95 million, making it number one this weekend. The Other Woman was second. By the way, new photos of Kate Upton over there on Egotastic.com.
Yeah.
Worth taking a gander if you get a chance.
Yep. Are these the Vanity Fair photos?
No, this is a behind-the-scenes video shoot from Sports Illustrated that they just posted up. Some stills.
All right, then.
Some stills from the behind-the-scenes of that particular photo shoot. Heaven is for Real, third. Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Rio 2. Those are your top five movies at the box office. Then Brick Mansions, Divergent. The Quiet Ones at number 8, God's Not Dead. And at number 10, The Grand Budapest Hotel. take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Adele is 26 years old.
Well, it appears Adele's hunger for pop music stardom knows no bottom. She is absolutely dining on her buffet of success after the release of her album, which is still in the top 10. She is eating up the charts. She's fat. She's ungodly fat.
I love Adele. I do, too. I don't know what that guy's problem is.
Stop playing those calls then, Bean.
I don't know why you're looking at me.
Because you played the call. So I'm looking at you.
They just dialed in.
Because one of us had to push that button
because
it was you.
That was a piece of pre-recorded audio that you played from your end.
I think it's inappropriate.
As do I. That's why I ask you to stop playing it.
I agree with you.
No. I'm telling you, the guy who played it.
But I'm the guy who said, let's not play
but
that.
You're the one
that
who
didn't
played
say
it,
that ever.
That's how you played
you
it.
You played it.
You may have said, don't play it, but then you pushed the button and made it play.
Fire beer mug.
I think in this case, beer mug is blameless.
That's correct. It's the first time.
No one's ever said that before. Henry Cavill, Superman's 31 years old today. Danielle Fishel, oh, she's adorable, 33 years old. Tina Yathers is 41. Kurt Sutter, man who brought you Sons of Anarchy, 54 years old. You owe him. Brian Williams is 55. Ian McCullough, Echo and the Bunnymen, he's their singer, 55 years old. Bill Ward from Black Sabbath is 66. Kurt Loder, former MTV News correspondent back in the day. Now I'm not sure what he's doing. I think they found him inside an RV's look.
Now, you're not immediately going to know why I'm bringing this up, Kevin, but remember a couple weeks ago when you were talking about how miserable you were at your doctor's office when he made you bend over and he got out the rubber gloves? Remember how you came in,
yep.
You were just all teary-eyed the next day about how horrible that was, and it was the worst day of your life?
You just couldn't get over it.
My question was, have we not progressed at all in the medical community?
But I want you to think right now, if you would, for that moment, that few seconds where the doctor was doing the thing, and I want you to remember how you felt at that moment.
Okay.
The exact opposite of that is K-Rock Weedy Rose 2014.
Yeah!
Like, you went from the lowest of all possible lows to the highest of all possible highs, because on Saturday, May 31st, you're going to be at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater along with me and Lisa and everybody and thousands of K-Rock listeners, and it's going to be beautiful out, it's going to be sunny, and it's going to be hot, and there's going to be food, there's going to be chicks, and there's going to be this lineup playing on one stage for one day only, and we're going to get to be there.
Fits of the Tantrums, Capital Cities, we just played, Fantagram, the 1975, Foster the People, Fall Out Boy, The Neighborhood, Best Steel, Avicii, the list goes on and on. Tickets do go on sale Friday at noon.
Okay.
And what you need to do is go to K-Rock and be a K-Rock Street Team member. Now, if that goes against your grain, don't worry about it. Become a member, get the password, buy the tickets, and then
unsubscribe.
Unbecome a member.
Right.
Or whatever
it
is you do.
And it only takes a minute to sign up, and they don't bug you too much, and they will send you the password so that you can buy the tickets when they go on sale this Friday at noon. And what has been happening in recent years, because the Weenie Roast has become such a Southern California institution, is the thing just sells out with all presale, with all the K-Rock Street Team members. So if you're a member of the public, you don't end up actually even getting to buy tickets. So that's why it's a good tip for you to do it. But it's a great, great year that we look forward to every year. It really is the best day of all of summer. And, of course, it is a charity show again this year. And tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon. The show is Saturday, May 31st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. We did that lineup pretty fast. Here it is for you one more time.
Everybody's coming. Weenie Rose 2014, Saturday, May 31st, Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Your official kickoff to summer. Featuring Avicii. So wake me up when it's all over. What if I'm far from home? Oh, brother, I will hear you call. Foster the People. It's like a coming of age.
The girls are here, and the muscle men are here.
God complex, cocky, and
pull out, boy.
I hate the beat.
The neighborhood.
I wake up, I'm afraid it's too cold.
Come on,
Dow,
let go, gorilla, and see the girls on the beach.
Bastille.
But if you close your eyes, does it
Weenie Roast, Fits in the Tantrums. Capital Cities.
Fan
Pentagram.
And the 1975 American author.
K-Rock Winnie Rose 2014. Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale Friday at noon.
Proceeds benefit Heal the Bay and the Surf Rider Foundation.
K-Rock Winnie Rose 2014. Presented by Farmer John. Get cooking at FarmerJohn.com.
Honey.
I don't think that's the
song.
Why
are you playing Bound 2 again?
That's Pentagram.
Oh.
On the world famous K-Rock 106.7 K-Rock.
Are they going to be at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Weenie Roast?
Yes, they are, Ralph Garman.
I cannot wait to see them.
We'll be there that day.
You can go to krock.com for the complete lineup and all the ticket on sale about the Weenie Roast that we just made the announcement of this morning. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Monday.
I get an email from listener Jeff Sakuro who tells me, you know what else we're not eating?
What?
Cotton candy grapes.
What?
That's a thing, too? Cotton candy grapes exist.
They're in addition to the bubble berries?
Yes.
They're grapes that taste like cotton candy?
There are berries that taste like bubble gum, and there are grapes that taste like cotton candy.
What's happening?
They don't want us to be happy. That's what it comes down to.
Someone's watching too much Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and thinks it's real.
Snozzberries. I can't wait till they start making snozzberries. I'm just saying. Come on.
Did we find out from a listener that there's a place in America that grows the bubble berries, Ralph?
There's a rumor. We're tracking it down. Maybe we'll have them for tomorrow. But there's apparently a berry farm in California.
Yeah, it's nuts.
No.
Oh.
Pudwill, I think it's called.
That's correct. That's what they told us. It's called Pudwill.
Pudwill Berry Farm in the
Sounds
state
legit.
Of California. That they apparently have tentative plans to release the bubble berry sometime in June. So we'll
talk
about
the cotton candy grape.
No word yet on the cotton candy grapes. Mm. There's a whole apparently subphylum of candy fruit that they're keeping out of our hands for some reason. I blame Obama. Something's up.
This is perfect for me. I could eat candy and fruit at the same time.
It's perfect for everyone.
Right.
We'd all be able to eat fruit and not and feel like we're eating candy and not feel guilty about it. Now they just make a chocolate apple for Kevin. We'll be fine.
You got to be cool and eat fruit.
I will eat fruit. Hulkster, if you make it taste like candy. I want a chocolate tomato. Then I'll eat more vegetables. It's Monday. That means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Amazing Spider-Man 2. In its debut, as expected, topped the weekend box office with $95 million. The Other Woman, with Kate Upton, made $14 million this weekend. But it was good enough to make it number two. Then Heaven is for Real, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Rio 2. The rest of the top 10 are Brick Mansions, Divergent, The Quiet Ones, God's Not Dead, and The Grand Budapest Hotel with $1.7 million. Bringing up the rear. Speaking of rears, Michael Travis, the guy who made all those costumes for Liberace.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He passed away this weekend. Died at the age of 86. At his home in Studio City, California. He was a legendary costume designer. Did the Academy Awards for 6 years. He designed costumes for a lot of stage shows, including the Supremes and Wayne Newton, The Temptations. Tony Orlando, your good friend Tony Orlando.
Sure.
Rowan and Martin's Laughing on TV. He was very upset because he was shut out of HBO's Liberace biopic last year, Behind the Candelabra. He wanted to do the costumes for that, which you would think would make sense because he did of all Liberace's, all his real costumes. But he was not allowed to participate. He claimed it was because one of the producers of the film, Jerry Weintraub, was still angry at him over a costume that he made for John Denver in a 1976 TV special.
What? Way to hold a grudge.
Way to hold a grudge over that John Denver special.
He didn't get enough revenge when John Denver died.
Apparently not.
He still couldn't let it go?
Still an axe to grind. This is good news. Matt Smith of Doctor Who fame has just been added to the cast of the next Terminator movie. No word on exactly who he'll play. They're being very coy about this. They're saying he plays a guy with a strong connection to John Connor, who, of course, as you know, led the uprising against the machines that eventually took over the world. Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones also in this. Jason Clarke, who can be seen in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, or Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Which one?
Let's go with Rise.
I think it's Rise, yeah. And Schwarzenegger reportedly returning as well.
Huh.
As a broken down aging Terminator. Slow down. I can't run that fast after you. Just trot if you want to live. Woody Allen's got a new movie coming out this summer.
Doesn't he always?
Yeah. It's called Magic in the Moonlight. Colin Firth, Marcia Gay Harden, Emma Stone, all star. But he's already at work on his next film. He just cast Joaquin Phoenix as the lead. No word on what the plot is about, but Joaquin is the first to be cast. It's the first time the pair have worked together, so that's exciting news. And this stunned me. Did you see Saturday Night Live this weekend?
I saw some of it.
Part of it. There was a short commercial during Saturday Night Live for Arcade Fire. Did you see that?
Oh, I did not see that.
Didn't see that.
It was a piece for their album. It was a piece of the new music video for their song, We Exist. And in it, you see a dude in a white dress wearing a blonde wig and red face makeup. Very odd. He's walking through a crowd while a male voice is shouting, We exist. Well, the guy in that video was none other than this week's Saturday Night Live host, Andrew Garfield.
Really?
He stars in the Arcade Fire video, yeah. That's Andrew walking through Coachella in a white dress and wig and makeup. The song is about a young man coming out to his father. It's on the band's album, Reflector. But it was cool because Garfield was the host of Saturday Night Live, and he was also in that short clip from the Arcade Fire video. So
he was a terrific host, by the way, Ralph.
He's a very talented guy.
Really talented guy.
Yeah, he really is.
And I bet there were people who were surprised when he walked out and started his monologue that he's yet another Brit.
Actually, he's American, born in America, then moved to England, was raised in England.
Huh.
But yeah, very much has the accent. But a nice guy, and I was glad to see him do well on that show this weekend. Reese Witherspoon made headlines last year when she was hauled off to jail for spouting off to a police officer. Remember when she got her husband got pulled over for DUI charges?
Oh, yeah.
She said, don't you know who I am? I'll have you fired. Where it is, she has quit the booze.
Is that right?
Cleaned up her act. Got a very serious fitness routine going on. And she is healthier than ever. And word is that her friends were very happy because apparently her drinking was almost out of control by the point she had the wake-up call with the arrest. So sometimes it works. I'm trying to get Kevin arrested and see what happens.
How dare you?
Maybe he'll see the light. Today's celebrity birthdays.
What are the chances I'm going to see the light?
Yeah, that's a good point. By the way, this weekend, Sunday, on Family Guy, I was doing a voice for a character on Family Guy who was inebriated.
Yeah.
And my Twitter literally blew up. My phone exploded.
Yeah.
People saying, hey, that's Kevin. You're doing Kevin on Family Guy. I was like, no, I'm doing an out-of-control drunk on Family Guy.
I got the same response. Ralph's doing his impression of you on Family Guy.
I was doing a horrible, horrible drunk on Family Guy. I wasn't doing Kevin.
Right. Very different.
Very different. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Lance Henriksen is 74 years old today. Former MTV news correspondent Kurt Loder, 69 years old. Bill Ward of Black Sabbath, the drummer for that band, is 66. Leader of Echo and the Bunnymen, Ian McCullough, is 55 years old. Brian Williams, the newsman, is 55 as well. Kurt Sutter, man who gave us Sons of Anarchy, is 54 years old. Tina Yathers from Family Ties is 41. Daniel Fishel is 33. Henry Cavill, Superman from Man of Steel, and soon to be seen battling card cheater Batman. He is 31 years old. And singer Adele is 26.
She's fat.
She's 26 years old today.
Ooh, pretty. In a fat, stupid way.
I want you to fire the fat people. They're lazy and they're slow and they make me sad to look at.
Come on, guys. That's kind of funny.
Is it? I'm sorry. I mean, how often? I mean,
Oh, man, nobody thinks that's funny?
I guess not.
You know, they asked the Clipper players, what's it like working for a man like Donald Sterling? They say it's hard to explain, really. It's hard to really express how we feel about it. I know just how they feel. I know just how they feel.
He's a dick! He's a dick! He's a dick! He's a dick!
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her off tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Brian Henson will be here. He is the son of Jim Henson, and talking about Jim Henson's creative shop challenge.
Or creature, I believe.
Or creature shop challenge. One of the two.
I'm going to go with creature.
Catherine Schwarzenegger, Arnold's daughter, will be here talking about her. Come on, Ralph. Get up.
Get it, Kevin.
Get up. Get out. Lost Ralph. Catherine Schwarzenegger will be here talking about her book, I Just Graduated, Now What? And they tell me, come on, Ralph. You're not helping.
I can't help it.
Paul McCartney's not going to want to come on the show tomorrow. Paul's not going to come on the show if he hears this kind of unprofessionalism.
He's a big fan of the Creative Shop Challenge, though. He might want to listen.
We'll see you tomorrow.